And as we do in the evening, we go through the Gospel of Matthew. Today we start in Matthew 7, a nice portion of the scripture. Once again, the Bible tells us of the message of the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit, who is the author, the interpreter, and the teacher of the scripture, may bless us again. Give us again understanding of your word. And Father, we pray that the Spirit of God may apply thy word into our mind, and that our heart be ready to receive thy word with gladness. Help the young people to understand, and help me, O God, to communicate your word with simplicity and purity, that the people may go home with the treasure of Jesus in their heart. And Jesus, we pray and thank you for what you're going to do with us even now. Father, we have received a report of our brother Russell and his visit with our brother Caldwell there in Pacific Hill Manor. This is the place, oh God, where we have the second service in the morning at 2:30. And Father, you know very well who is the person. You move his heart to talk to Russ. And we pray, Lord, that you will develop the work that you already start in his heart. Bless me tomorrow as I visit with such a one, and give him a strength and give him a mind to trust you, O God, according to your will. In Jesus we pray, amen. Well, I was saying that the Gospel of Matthew, the interest in studying in the evening is that young people as well will remember the Bible and know what the Bible says. Most of the time, people say, Pastor, where is this in the Bible? And the only way to remember is that you get a Bible and just with pencil write on the top of the chapter what the chapter is all about. I have done this for 26 years, and I have a good collection of Bibles in my broadcast in Spanish over family radio, so that people get to know. See, how do you preach the Bible for people who never saw the Bible? So you have to let them know what the Bible says. And that's our intention. Now, remember, I started the teaching from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, where the Bible promised that a king will be raised to the nation of God who will be eternal and who will be forever. Not just David, like die, but there will be a king forever. And so I believe that the Gospel of Matthew speaks about that king, Jesus, in a peculiar and wonderful way. To begin with, they give the genealogy. And in the old time, in the years 100, 200, only you give the genealogy of kings. You don't have genealogies of anybody else except kings. And so that's how the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke honor Jesus as king. And so we look to the Gospel of Matthew from that focus. We put a flashlight, and the flashlight is a light to say king, King Jesus. Now, in chapter 1, we saw the birth certificate of the Lord Jesus. If you girls one day and boys want to get a passport, the requirement from the Secretary of State office is that you must show that you are born where, and then you need to bring your birth certificate. And for us foreigners, we need to also bring another certificate that proves that one day we have pledged allegiance to the United States of America. The certificate of naturalization is called. And so the birth certificate of the king is in chapter 1. In chapter 2, we saw some people, some science people, coming from the north to worship Jesus. And there were more than three, as tradition said. And they all came 18 months after his birth, said the Bible. And so therefore we learn how to worship, worshiping the king. Then in chapter 3, we saw a man that came into the picture. His name was John the Baptist. And his work as a great man was to announce Jesus. Now, what does the Secretary of State do in the United States of America? He goes to places and arrange the meeting of the president, arrange the conditions in which the president will speak, bring back news to the president, and the president goes and speaks. But everything arranged. And so I thought that John the Baptist is the Secretary of State of Jesus. Then Jesus is brought into the temptations in Matthew 4, and we call Matthew 4 the temptations of the king. Then Matthew 5, 6, and 7 Jesus sit down on the mountain. Look at the chapel that Jesus had. He has a big mountain. He sit down the people around and he started speaking. In Matthew chapter 5, it spoke about the general attitude of those people who call themselves Christians. In Matthew chapter 6, about the laws of the kingdom. Remember, they should not be divorced. They should be doing this and the other. And all kinds of laws of the kingdom. Way above the law of Israel. Remember, he said, you heard they have been said in this way, but I tell you it's going to be in this way. And boy, those Jews were shaken as Jesus enlarged and explained the law. Now, Matthew chapter 7 is also the message of the king, and it's talking about personal attitude. And that's the first 12 verses. You know, personal attitude is very, very important. See, the spirit of a person is more important than the little things that he does from day to day. In fact, I believe this. If a man has the right spirit, you don't have to worry about his actions. If a man or a woman have the right spirit, you don't have to worry about his actions. Just listen over the air. What are we going to do tomorrow when children go to a school in Colorado? And I thought, well, I'm sorry they don't have a phone line that I can call, because I like to tell them, when they go tomorrow to school, let's have the first hour of a school, a preacher who preaches the Word of God in Colorado and preach the Word to the children. If those children have the right spirit, then you don't have to worry about this action. And the National Rifle Association have an idea. Let everybody have a gun, and then we're going to have control in our mind. I tell you, I love guns, but I can't listen. This is not, our heart is not going to be controlled by a gun. We need a new nature. We need the new spirit. We need to be born again. And America, who preached this over my land, over and over and over, 200 years ago, should be reminded that the greatest spirit of America is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how is the proper spirit developed in a person? So Jesus is going to tell us three things here. Matthew chapter 7, personal attitude. Our attitude toward others, verses 1 to 6. Our attitude toward prayer, and our attitude toward actions of our life. So I go over them verse by verse. First, our attitude toward other people. Listen in verse 1, our attitude toward other people. Judge not, that ye be not judged. Is that simple? Judge not, that ye be not judged. Our attitude toward other people. See, some people have made their lives work to find fault with others, to judge them and criticize them. Now, I'm a very good observer. If I'm going to have every day three radio programs, and one of them is called Life for Living, I better observe life as I drive and do things. So I'm in a parking lot, I carry a small tape recorder that goes in my pocket, and push a button and record what I see. And later on, I write three or four programs about that. All over the East Coast, all over Central America, you can listen to this program. Now, with Raquel, we went into a parking lot in Carmel, and I hear some noise. I turn around, and I see those black vultures going into a garbage and trying to get some food. Boy, immediately, this verse came into my life. Judge not, that ye be no judge. What do you mean, Pastor? This is what it is. I went into my library right away as I get home, and I investigated, and I learned this. Those in canneries do not seek to live out of polluted food. Doves and canaries do not live out of polluted food. Only vultures seek the carrion of the land, seek those things who are dead. Only vultures. Now, think spiritually. Judge not, that ye be not judged. Only a person who is a vulture in their spirit trying to destroy another person's character and life. See how important it is? So young people, learn this. You don't, God will not give you a good mind and a good heart just to judge others. Judge yourself as much as you can, but no, do not judge. Oh, don't spend your life in criticizing people and judging others. That's what Jesus said. Now, look at what he said about the law, verse 2. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. See, Jesus pronounces a law for which the believer cannot escape. Look in verse 3. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thy own eye? Verse 4. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite. Look at how Jesus called these people. That's a very, if somebody called me a hypocrite, I'd get really upset. This is a very important word for character. First, cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And see, so he said, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. So Jesus is saying, now listen carefully. Listen carefully, he's saying. Don't waste your time in trying to judge somebody else when you have yourself to improve. He simply is telling us that we are going to reap what we sow. The critical fault-finding Christian kills his own usefulness. You never become useful to the Lord if the only thing you do when you come to church is to put a finger on somebody else. If the only thing you do is telling your own children how bad they are, if telling your wife or your husband how bad they are, you never go anywhere with that. We don't help other people by sharp and unbrotherly criticism. So how do you help people then, Pastor? How do you help somebody who is in need? I tell you how. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Look at in my Bible. Here I have the church Bible, so I can tell you there is in page 859. If you have a black Bible like this, it's in page 859. Galatians chapter 6. And verse 1 tells you, how do you help other people then? Here it is. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, in other words, this is, no, the somebody told you. Usually the problem is somebody told me about somebody else. That doesn't count. So here's what it is. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, if you caught somebody doing something wrong, ye which are spiritual, you go and talk about him. No, look at what the Bible said. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, I want to tell you something that maybe in America, you young people never have idea because you are rich. But when I was young, I saw my mother mending my socks. You know, we boys do a lot of walking and doing things, and my socks always were broken right here in the back. And you know what happened? We had no money for other socks. So Mama will take an old sock and take one line up from the other out and made a thread and put that sock in a mate. Mate, boy, I can't believe it. It's a fruit that is in South America, especially on the tropical area. It's big, and you can empty the mate, and it's hard. And Mama will put the sock, and Raquel's mother did, on the top of that, and little by little in the night, a little bit every night, she will tread that until you never know that sock was broken. Mending the socks was part of my mother's work, because you know what? We had no money to go and buy three pairs of socks. Like, you go to the store and you think it's nothing, you know? Your children think it's nothing. Now, believe me, in other countries, that little white socks over there, that would be luxury. So you
really care for 2 or 3 years with those socks. All right? And so my mother will do that. And this is what Galatians 6:1 is saying. You restore that person. You mend. Do the work. Maybe it takes long. Maybe it takes a year to mend that person. But do it just that way, like my mother did. And my mother, Raquel's mother, had tremendous eyes without even glasses. I saw her working like that. And then you take that thread and slowly to the other. And when it's finished, she went like this and so on. And you never know this was meant. Now, that's the type of word, that's the kind of word that God used here for restoring people. Galatians 6:1 is saying this. You have to work with people and do not judge people. They should be your attitude toward others. Don't spend your life in judging people and telling how wrong they are, because you also are wrong and you have to work in yourself. But spend your life in mending the life of other people. In other words, go around and tell your brother, my son, you know, you need to do this and you need to do the other, and helping in one way or the other. And this is what Jesus advised us, not to give holy things to the dogs. Then in verse 6, see, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Now, again, in America, we don't understand that, because we don't use the word dog and the names of animals to categorize people. We don't say that's a camel and that's it. But the name of the animals in another country categorize people, especially in the Asian people, class certain men as animals. Now, a dog was a person of odious character and violent temper. When a person has a temper that cannot be controlled, in the times of Jesus, that person should be called a dog. That's what it is. And then, the term swine, remember that is here swine mentioned? Meant those who moral filth. Those who morally were terribly filthy is called a swine. And so the counsel is there. We must witness to them, of course, but we must leave them to God. We don't mingle and trying to do any other work than pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is Jesus saying with reference to our personal attitude? What is he trying to say in Matthew 7 in verses 1-6? He's trying to say this: we must develop a kind of sympathetic spirit, pointing them to Jesus. I always hold this principle that another pastor told me long, long time ago in 1977. He was the pastor of Calvary Baptist in Los Gatos, now with the Lord. And he said this to me. I asked him after a conference, I said, "Pastor, you've been a pastor for 45 years. What is the secret of your ministry?" And he said, "Here's what it is. You be kind with the people, but firm with the principle." You be firm with the principle, and you be kind with the people, and you will go a long way. And I think that's what Jesus is saying, starting in Matthew 7:1. Judge not that ye be no judge. You be kind with the people, be strong with the principle. Tell them what is wrong, and guide them, and mend the life. Be a kind of a helper to restore the life to the proper balance. So that's an attitude toward others. Don't be a judge. Don't be a criticized. Don't tell them this and this and this, because look into your life, what is wrong. But if people are like dogs or swine, you can do it. In other words, if a people is a dog, they lose his temper and lose his composure, you can help it. If a people is filthy and sees moral life, then you intervene. That's the two areas that God allows us to intervene in the life of people. When it's a dog or when it's a swine. A dog, somebody who loses his temper. A swine, somebody who is filthy morally. Then you go on and you help them to straight their life. Now, number two, our attitude, our prayer. Look at verse 7. This is our attitude toward prayer. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. What do you think of this? I read it again. It's talking about prayer. Look at what Jesus said. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Let me read it as you will read if you were Greek. All right? Suppose you were a Greek person, and this is written in Greek. This is the way that reads in English. Keep on asking, and it shall be given unto you. Keep on seeking, and ye shall find. Keep on knocking, and it shall be opened unto you. The person active participle is used over there to give the idea of a continued thing. So you know what Jesus is saying is this: pray openly without fear continually. Usually you say, if I ask you, say, do you pray about this matter? People say, yes, I pray. I ask people, for how long? To a pastor, I prayed 2 or 3 days ago. like you know, like if we have a phone line, 9-11, heaven, Lord, I want this, and it has been done now. See, we have instant coffee, instant soup, I hate it, instant tea, and all of these things. And I tell you, you know, my mother took 4 hours to make this soup. You know, remember those ossobuco bones over there inside, and the smell was coming in. When you came from work at 12 noon for lunch, man, the smell go all over the house, and you know that you have a soup, you can work another 7-8 hours. And you see, we lost that. We lost that. Everything had to be instant. And God said, no, we're God at least. See, God wants to mold us. It's not that He's not going to answer. It's that He wants to mold us. He wants us to be like Him, patient. And so He said, keep on asking. Keep on doing this. Look at verse 8 to 11. Pray in the context of a father-son relationship. Look at what He says. For everyone that ask, receive. God's not a liar. He either say yes, he may say wait, or he may say no. But God always answer. All right? And he that seeketh, find it. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So God said, it's true when you pray. See, having all these verses in the Bible, I wonder why people don't come to pray on Wednesday night. You know why? They don't believe it. They don't believe it. If you believe these verses, you will be here on your knees praying like crazy. Verse 9, oh, what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? You see, now he's bringing the context of prayer into a father-son relationship. Look at verse 10. Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Imagine if Sherry said, Papa, I want a little fish, and he brings a rattlesnake. That you know, cannot be. Verse 11, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gift unto your children, in other words, if you are imperfect in your heart, and you're still doing good to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? See, God said, when you pray, remember, you are praying to your Father. And remember that if a father in this earth will not hurt their children when they ask for, imagine your Father in heaven. Now, the fact that God maybe did not answer according to your and my idea. How many times you have prayed for one thing and there is no answer about it? Maybe God is trying to bring into your life a consciousness of patience with God. Maybe what we pray is not what we need also. And God is withholding the answer. I'm so glad for so many withholdings of God of my life so that I don't make a mess of my life. I have prayed unintelligent many times. And God, who is my Father, said, Gabriel doesn't need this. And He will hold it. So beautiful. So our attitude in prayer. You keep on praying. You keep on seeking what it is. You keep on asking. And on the road, our Father will give us the best. He will never give us a serpent. He will never give us a stone when we are hungry. He will give us the best. He's our Father, which is in heaven. Wow, for some of you who are suffering and some of you who are in trial, this looks like a utopia. But believe me, brother and sister, this is what God said. And this is true. Finally, our attitude toward our actions. Look at verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men would should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophet. What God is saying here. Here's what God is saying. Measure your actions to others. Measure your action to others. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. You say, Pastor, wait a minute. Even to those people who do wrong to me? Well, let's have some examples. Let's look for Jesus in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 23 and in verse 34. Gospel of Luke, chapter 23 and verse 34. Now, Jesus on the cross of Calvary, and that's in page 776, page 776, if you have a Bible, church Bible. And look at what it is. Luke 23 and verse 34. Jesus on the cross, there are two malefactors. People are laughing on Jesus. People are really, you know, like you have a friend or somebody who's laughing on you, who is really denying your, even your counsel, who is really ignoring you and putting you down. Look at what Jesus' remedy was. Then said Jesus, Father, you know, he could say, Father, get them. And they will be disappearing. And look at what Jesus said. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, the unbelievers hurt you because, you know what? That's the only thing. They know not what they do. I was anxious to write something for the happening for this Sunday about what happened in Colorado. And on the basis of this verse, what happened in our land is because they know not what they do. And unless God Almighty, who blessed the people that came to America, and blessed South America through America, when you think that in 1907 a missionary will take a boat and land in a land not knowing if he will return ever to his country, and bless my grandmother with the word of the living God, and then you see the country today, you say, Lord, what's really happening? What's really happening? What happened is people do not know what they do. The only thing they know is, oh man, money is good in America. We're making more money today than ever in the history of the world, and that money has blinded them. No wonder the Bible said the love of money is what? Is the root of all evil. There's nothing wrong to work and make your money and support your family. That's honoring. 1 Timothy 5 said that that's an obligation almost to all of us, especially to us men. Otherwise, we'll be worse than an unbeliever. But the good part in the Bible is that Jesus is saying when somebody hurts you, when somebody is an unbeliever and is scoring you and is pressing you and is putting you on the spot, you look to Jesus. He was on the cross. They were laughing. He's God. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Here's the reason. They don't know what they're doing. See, unless God the Father comes into their life and tell them about God, you can talk to them, but they hear with these ears and go away. Now, let me give you the example of a man. Some people say, oh, Pastor, you mentioned Jesus. Well, Jesus can do it. He was God, but we cannot do it. Oh, hold it. Maybe you studied this morning. I don't know. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4. Maybe you were. I was just starting teaching 2 Corinthians this morning on the young people class, and the teacher came in and took me away. But here's what it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Maybe you studied this verse this morning. I don't know. Verse 8 and verse 9. Look at what the Apostle Paul said. We are troubled, we as he and Timothy, he and Silas, he is his companion. We are troubled on every side. Yet, what? No distress. We are perplexed. How this happened? Have you ever said to yourself, how in the world this happened to me? When is going to change? And this happened, it could be a stupid thing or it could be a deep thing. Let me tell you a stupid thing that happened this afternoon.
We go home. We have this sophisticated car, that my car, that push a button in the car and flash the lights, open the garage door. But the garage door is not open. So I'm perplexed. I said, how this sophisticated American car don't do that? And Raquel said, you maybe have wrong programming. That to an engineer, that is a bad word. And so I said, it's going to be a wrong programming. And so I go outside the car, and the lights are on, and the thing's on, the red light, the green light, the yellow light, everything is on. And it's a garage door open, nothing open. So I said, oh, you know what happened? Maybe the light in the neighborhood is on. She said, look on the fish. The fish have the light. We left the fish with light. I call the birds. So when people come in and ask me, I always say to Raquel, do you feed the bird? And people say, there are no birds, there are fish. Well, 2,000 years, there will be birds.
Just for those who believe in evolution, you know. And so I look high, and those fish were really, really swimming on with their light on the fish pole. So I said, there is light. And there's only one choice, to go from the back door. But there's one thing. I lost my key holder with all my keys, and I lost the key of the back door. So there is only one thing. Take your coat, Pastor, and go on the top of the wall. Hopefully the no police car will pass by at that hour, and go in. And I go in, and the back door of the garage. But the back door of the garage is locked from inside, and there is no key from outside. We are perplexed. Look at the text again. He said, fantastic. We have power on every side. Yet notice that we are perplexed. But I said to Raquel, what are you going to do? But not in despair. Give me that piece of steel. I got a piece of steel, and there is a little window, and I went, jump, and the window opened, my eye on it. I finally get in. We go into the house. You know what happened? One of the fuse got off, and there was that section. God has a sense of humor just to test your patience. All right? And so Paul, the same thing, you know. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Look at verse 9. Persecuted, but not forsaken. I like the last one. We are cast down, but not destroyed. How blessed we are that when we follow His counsel, when we follow the counsel of God, with the patience of God and with the compassion of God. There was a hymn here that we sing earlier in relation to have compassion for souls. When we have compassion from people, even their wrongdoing, we can keep up. We know they're doing wrong. We know they're hurting us. But because of our compassion for their soul, then we keep on alive, firm with the principle, kind with the people. Now you have a right to ask me, for how long, Pastor? For how long? Do you remember Peter asked that question? For how long shall I forgive my brother? He has his pencil and his notebook. He said, how long? And Jesus said, 70 times 7, that's, how much is that? 70 times 7, girls, how much will it be? 490, is that right? 490. Then Jesus said, Peter, put 490 little bars and crush one on the dita. And Peter was willing to do that. But I think the number there is Jesus is saying, you keep on forgiving. And you keep on forgiving. And don't keep an account. Don't keep an account. One day, this beautiful Lord of ours will change their heart. And when the heart is changed, the attitude is change. You know, the Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. So when somebody is out of control, constantly, when somebody constantly cannot dominate his life, my worry is not what the person is doing, my worry and concern is the heart. Is that person saved? And if it's not saved, believe my brother, there is no remedy until God saved. Tomorrow morning, a team of 100 psychologists will be in a school in Colorado trying to help the students to cope with the problem that they saw. What America! I said, Lord, this is worse than the guy getting the gun. 100 psychologists will damage the brains of people. That's what psychologist is. And I'm a psychologist, you know? I'm a clinical psychologist. But it's just damaging people. You damage people. It's poison in the brains of people. There is only one thing that will produce a life and a character and an attitude and an action that is holy, is the Bible. Oh, I wish the Colorado, the governor will say, now the Bible will be read for an hour every morning in every school in Colorado. Will not be a shock. Well, don't be surprised. Bush brought a son, the second one, in Florida, have decreed, in defiance of the Supreme Court, that in his state, nobody is going to get an abortion unless parents and a council will approve. And he said the next one will be the reading of the scriptures in the school. Oh, we need to pray for that man. This is not the one who's a candidate to president. You will lose the star. But he's just a governor. And people, our media, they went after him and said, what do you think about the Supreme Court? The Supreme Court has no power in my state. And I will enforce this. We need it. And the people want it. No one of the people in the Florida is making with banners or anything, only the media in the United States. Oh, my brother and my sister, we need to pray for those little men that God has put in power. I don't even know his name, but he said, I will do it. I want my state to be healthy. Maybe we all need to go to Florida or something like that. But I tell you something. Let us check our attitude. And let us see ourselves if we are expressing the life of Christ in our life. And when we see somebody else wrong, remember, is a dog or is a swine, we need to have the patience of God and the kindness of God to bring mending that person like my mother did, slowly but firmly until it's over. Thank you, Father, for the counsel in Matthew chapter 7. The counsel is saying to us, oh, look your attitude and help those who are in need of help. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your counsel. Thank you for Jesus, who is going to help us to put up with the insane treatment that sometimes we get. Sometimes we get circumstances like me this afternoon. Thank you, God, that you give me the strength, all as I am, to go over the wall and did what I did. Thank you, Father. And thank you that you are telling me that I can have the best car in the world, but when you just turn one switch off, my car will be off too. You are in control. Thank you, Lord, for your control. You always love us. You always care for us. Give us the strength to follow. In Jesus we pray. Amen.